Chapter 24. Founder catched on a snag along he in the bend, and they hid her in the creek amongst the willows, and they was so much jaw about which unum she belonged to the most that I come to he about it pooty soon. So I ups and settles the trouble by telling them she don't belong to none of them, but to you and me. And I asked them if they gwine to grab a young white gentleman's property and get a hidden for it. Then I gin them 10 cents apiece, and they us mighty well satisfied, and wished some more raps ud come along and make them rich a gin. They's mighty good to me, these niggers is, and whatever I want them to do for me, I don't have to ask them twice, honey. That Jack's a good nigger, and pooty smart. Yes, he is. He ain't ever told me you was here, told me to come, and he'd show me a lot of water moccasins. If anything happens, he ain't mixed up in it. He can say he never seen us together, and it LL be the truth. I don't want to talk much about the next day. I reckon I'll cut it pretty short. I waked up about dawn, and was a-going to turn over and go to sleep again, when I noticed how still it was. Didn't seem to be anybody stirring. That weren't usual. Next I noticed that Buck was up and gone. Well, I gets up, a-wondering, and goes downstairs, nobody around. Everything as still as a mouse. Just the same outside. Thinks I, what does it mean? Down by the woodpile I comes across my Jack, and says, what's it all about? Says he. Don't you know, Mars George? No, says I don't. Well, then, Miss Sophia's run off. D's he has. She run off in the night sometime, nobody don't know just as when. Run off to get married to that young Arnie Shepherdson, you know leastways, so they spec. The family found it out about half an hour ago, maybe a little more, and I tell you they weren't no time losses. Sitch another hurrying up guns and hosses you never see. The women folks has gone for to stir up the relations, and Ole Marsall and the boys tucked a guns and rode up the river road for to try to catch that young man and kill him fo' he can get across the river with Miss Sophia. I reckon they's gwine to be mighty rough times. Buck went off without waking me up. Well, I reckon he did. They weren't gwine to mix you up in it. Mars Buck he loaded up his gun and load he's gwine to fetch home a Shepherdson or bust. Well, they'll be plenty on them da, I reckon, and you bet you, he'll fetch one if he gets a chanced. I took up the river road as hard as I could put. By and by I begin to hear guns a good ways off. When I came in sight of the log store and the woodpile, where the steamboats lands, I worked along under the trees and brush till I got to a good place, and then I clumb up into the forks of a cottonwood that was out of reach, and watched. There was a wood rank 4 foot high a little ways in front of the tree, and first I was going to hide behind that, but maybe it was luckier I didn't. There was 4 or 5 men cavorting around on their horses, in the open place before the log store, cussing and yelling, and trying to get at a couple of young chaps that was behind the wood rank alongside of the steamboat landing, but they couldn't come it. Every time one of them showed himself on the riverside of the woodpile he got shot at. The 2 boys was squatting back to back behind the pile, so they could watch both ways. By and by the men stopped cavorting around and yelling. They started riding towards the store, then up gets one of the boys, draws a steady bead over the wood rank, and drops one of them out of his saddle. All the men jumped off of their horses, and grabbed the hurt one and started to carry him to the store, and that minute the 2 boys started on the run. They got halfway to the tree I was in before the men noticed. Then the men see them, and jumped on their horses, and took out after them. They gained on the boys, but it didn't do no good. The boys had too good a start. They got to the woodpile that was in front of my tree, and slipped in behind it, and so they had the bulge on the men again. One of the boys was Buck, and the other was a slim young chap about 19 years old. The men ripped around a while, and then rode away. As soon as they was out of sight I sung out to Buck and told him. He didn't know what to make of my voice coming out of the tree at first. He was awful surprised. He told me to watch out sharp, and let him know when the men come in sight again. Said they was up to some devilment, or other wouldn't be gone long. I wished I was out of that tree, but I dasn't come down. Buck begun to cry and rip, and loathed him, and his cousin Joe, that was the other young chap, would make up for this day yet. He said his father and his two brothers was killed, and two or three of the enemy. Said the Shepherdsons laid for them in ambush. Buck said his father and brothers ought to wait it for their relations, the Shepherdsons was too strong for them. I asked him what was become of young Arnie and Miss Sophia. He said they'd got across the river and was safe. I was glad of that. But the way Buck did take on, because he didn't manage to kill Arnie, that day he shot at him, I ain't ever heard anything like it. All of a sudden, bang, 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 goes three or four guns. The men had slipped around through the woods, and come in from behind without their horses. The boys jumped for the river, both of them hurt, and as they swum down the current, the men run along the bank shooting at them and singing out, "Kill them, kill them." It made me so sick I most fell out of the tree. I ain't a-going to tell all that happened, it would make me sick again, if I was to do that. I wished I hadn't ever come ashore that night to see such things. I ain't ever going to get shut of them, lots of times I dream about them. I stayed in the tree till it begun to get dark, afraid to come down. Sometimes I heard guns away off in the woods, and twice I seen little gangs of men gallop past the log store with guns, so I reckoned the trouble was still a-going on. I was mighty downhearted, so I made up my mind I wouldn't ever go near that house again, because I reckoned I was to blame, somehow. I judged that that piece of paper meant that Miss Sophia was to meet Arnie somewheres at 2:30 and run off, and I judged I ought to told her father about that paper, and the curious way she acted, and then maybe he would a locked her up, and this awful mess wouldn't ever happened. When I got down out of the tree I crept along down the river bank a piece, and found the two bodies laying in the edge of the water, and tugged at them till I got them ashore. Then I covered up their faces, and got away as quick as I could. I cried a little when I was covering up Buck's face, for he was mighty good to me. It was just dark now. I never went near the house, but struck through the woods and made for the swamp. Jim warned on his island, so I tramped off in a hurry for the creek, and crowded through the willows, red hot to jump aboard, and get out of that awful country. The raft was gone. My souls, but I was scared. I couldn't get my breath for most a minute. Then I raised a yell. A voice not 25 foot from me says, "Good land, is that you, honey? Don't make no noise." It was Jim's voice, nothing ever sounded so good before. I run along the bank a piece and got aboard, and Jim he grabbed me and hugged me, he was so glad to see me. He says, "Laws bless you, Chili, I us right down show you's dead a gin. Jackson he say he reckon you's been shot, case you didn't come home no mo', so I's jesses dis minute a startin' the raft down towards the mouth of the creek, so's to be all ready for, to shove out and leave soon as Jack comes a gin and tells me for certain you is dead. Lossie, I's mighty glad to get you back again, honey." I says, "All right, that's mighty good. They won't find me, and they'll think I've been killed, and floated down the river. There's something up there that'll help them think so, so don't you lose no time, Jim, but just shove off for the big water as fast as ever you can." I never felt easy till the raft was 2 mile below there, and out in the middle of the Mississippi. Then we hung up our signal lantern, and judged that we was free, and safe once more. I hadn't had a bite to eat since yesterday, so Jim he got out some corn dodgers and buttermilk, and pork and cabbage and greens. There ain't nothing in the world so good when it's cooked right, and whilst I eat my supper we talked, and had a good time. I was powerful glad to get away from the feuds, and so was Jim, to get away from the swamp. We said there warn't no home like a raft, after all. Other places do seem so cramped up and smothery, but a raft don't. You feel mighty free and easy and comfortable on a raft. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.